And I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 this evening, and then I'm going to read two verses from John 13, verses 34 and 35, and I'm going to read those out of the New Living Translation. John 3:16 reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." And this one commentary that God told me to add, People's New Testament, says the love and self-sacrifice of Christians has done more to extend the name of Jesus, of Christ, than arguments. And I've learned, you know, not to argue, and you have to stop arguing with folks because they don't believe.
Amen.
Love them. And live a holy, consecrated life in front of them, and guess what? They will believe. I couldn't help but remember when we were singing the song Righteousness, Peace, Joy, and the Holy Ghost, that during one of the LCA presentations, Deacon Phyllis's class did a presentation to that song, and I forget, Michael Wilson was the non-believer, and they were trying to woo him into the kingdom. And then when they got to the point where they said there's so much love, they would hug each other. And then they say there's joy, and they would jump up and down saying there's joy. And the next time they turned to Mike, he was like, yeah, I want to come in. Okay. But that's what happens when the people see us living this life full of love, full of joy, they're going to want in. And we have to keep remembering that. But would you go to Amos, please? Amos 7, and after Amos 7, we're going to go to Psalm 33. And I'm sharing in the Amplified Bible. It reads, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I am setting a plumb line as a standard in the midst of my people Israel." God said, I am setting a plumb line, and that plumb line is the standard, and I'm putting it right in the midst of you. Then he says, I will not pass by and spare them anymore. The door of mercy is shut. So God is saying, look, here's my standard. I'm done winking. Everybody needs to get in line with my plumb line. Okay? Psalm 33. Talking about living a consecrated life. Because when you're living a consecrated life, a life consecrated to God, you can't just do whatever you want whenever you want. For God's word, verse 4 and 5 in Psalm 33, I'm in the Message Bible. For God's word is solid to the core. Everyone say, got that right. Okay. Everything he makes is sound inside and out. He loves it when everything fits, when his world is in plumb line true. Earth is drenched in God's affectionate satisfaction. God is satisfied when his earth, when this world that he created is plumb line true, when it's lining up with everything he has said. And then let's go to Isaiah 28. I'm still in the Message Bible. verses 16 and 17, reads, "But the Master, God, has something to say to this. Watch closely. I'm laying a foundation in Zion, a solid granite foundation, squared and true. And this is the meaning of the stone. A trusting life won't topple. I'll make justice the measuring stick and righteousness the plumb line for the building." So God is giving us a hint that his plumb line, his standard, has a whole lot to do with his righteousness, with living a righteous life in front of him. And we're familiar with the standards that God has established, but we can sum them up by what he shared with us in Leviticus. Sanctify yourselves and be holy. And in 2 Peter, where he said, you be holy in everything that you do. Be holy. Everything. And I'm finding out more and more, not that I needed to, but he meant it. And since we're the ones that we're committed to live a sanctified and a consecrated life, and we're committed to him, we have an obligation to just line up with his standards. Remember, he's the one that said, I'm setting a plumb line in the midst of Israel. And that plumb line is my standard. One of the definitions of plumb line, how many of you know what a plumb line is? Okay, because there are many, many definitions. Okay, standard, it's a bob on the end of a string, points toward the center of gravity. You know, but it's also, have anybody ever watched Masons? Not the fraternity, you know, the people, the bricklayers and things. Okay. All right. You watch them build a wall. They don't just put bricks down and just start putting bricks up. They mark it off. They stretch a line from here to here, and they make sure it's true, it's right where it belongs, and those bricks don't pass the plumb line. If they try and build the wall without the plumb line, you're going to have a mess. You can have. Do we have that rope that I asked for, Ms. Perkins? Where are you? Who said yes? Oh, Esmond, could you bring it, please? See, because if they don't follow the plumb line, you have a crooked fence. Or your building will be like the tower in Pisa. Okay, just take one in for me. Okay, we're just going to just lay it down here. Okay, just lay it down. Okay, so God said that I'm putting a plumb line and I'm putting it in the midst. And he said the reason he's putting it in the midst is that he doesn't want us to make sure we're walking next to it. He wants us right in it. Right in it, right smack in the middle of his standard is where he wants his people to move and operate. And this, his plumb line, will follow wherever we're supposed to go. His plumb line will be there. And we need to keep following it and staying with it and not veering off. But what happens too often is that we do veer off. And the reason we veer off is because we're not paying attention to what he said. We're not paying attention to where he placed us. We've allowed ourselves to get distracted just by the cares of this world. And when that happens, we need to understand that we have to check our alignment with the plumb line. We may need to do it daily. Because you don't know, you don't want to be, you're supposed to be doing this. You don't want to find yourself over here somewhere wondering, how'd I get over here? I'm so far away from God's standard that it's frightening. I need to get back. So we have to get to the point when we know what God says, and we're going to remain set apart, filled with Him, holy. We're going to have to make sure that we check our alignment. We're going to have to. How many of you drive automobiles? How many of you get them serviced on a regular basis? I won't peek, so some of you didn't put your put your hand up. Well, see, we service our vehicles when they're supposed to be serviced. We do it personally. We do it for the ministry vehicles. And one of the things they check is the wheel alignment. They have to make sure the wheels are properly aligned. They need to be perpendicular to the ground. They need to be parallel to each other. Because if the wheels are out of line, more things can happen to that automobile than just worn tires. But one of the first things you notice, usually, is that the car is pulling a little bit to one side. Can you imagine? You're supposed to be going this way, but you're really you're slowly going over, and you don't know why. You don't know why. The steering is sluggish, because I found out through reading different articles online about wheel alignments. I know more. I could probably do a wheel alignment now. I'm not, but I probably could. It puts stress on the braking system, so you don't stop like you should. It puts stress on the steering. It wears you out, because it wears the tires out prematurely. That's why some folks go home before their time. They veered too far away from the plumb line, got worn out, and didn't understand what was happening. Did you ever find, anybody that, other than me, ever find yourself in a pickle, and you're like, God, I'm doing what you told me. Anybody ever do that? Yeah. But then when I checked, I found out what he told me is over there. And his standard for me is over there, and somehow I managed to move away from his standard. Well, stuff happened. And I didn't do it consciously. There were some times when I did. But most of the time, I didn't do it consciously. I thought I was moving, but I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't staying focused. I had my mind on some other things, and I was just slowly veering away. And you get caught up. Let me give you a classic current example. We just went through an election. We elected the President of the United States for the next 4 years. Some of us were not happy with the results. And some of us have put ourselves in positions where we have opened our mouths in murmuring against the President in judgment of his actions when God said, pray for all that are in authority. He never said, open up your mouth in judgment against them. He said, pray for them. That's what he said. But we will find ourselves, because of the political climate, we find ourselves opening our mouths and getting in agreement with folks and not being aligned with God's standard. And things don't quite happen the way we expect, and we're wondering, God, what's going on? We don't even consider that those types of conversation pull us away from the plumb line, that they're not part of God's standard for us. And we're going to see it before we leave in Colossians, when God talks about what we allow to come out of our mouths. But going back from into wheel alignments, because I don't want to miss this. When your wheels are not aligned, you have to burn more fuel to get where you're going. And so, yeah, we get there, but now we're tired. And some things are just a struggle, and there shouldn't, and it shouldn't be. But we're struggling because we're misaligned. Because when we're in alignment, it goes smoothly. And one thing I found out that I absolutely didn't know, you may have known, Pastor, because I wasn't around cars and things, but they tell me when your car's out of alignment, it affects the suspension. I never knew that. You're in for a really rough ride now. And it puts more friction from the roadway. That means it's pulling you down. You're trying to move forward, and something's pulling you down just because the tires in your car are misaligned. And then you go and you get the alignment, and you pay the price, you get them aligned, and everything's fine. But we don't think about the results. We think about what it's going to cost and the time I'm going to have to sit there while they align these wheels. Well, that's in the natural and spiritual, in the spirit realm, it's the time we spend on our face. The time we spend praying in the Holy Ghost. It's the time we spend studying God's Word, getting it out of the books and into our spirits so that we can walk right in the middle of God's standard, right in the middle, and never veer off of it, because we're always checking. We're always looking for where we are in relation to where God said we should be. Always listening to what we're saying in relation to what God says should be coming out of our mouths. We need to understand those things. I looked up around 7 o'clock. I was just sitting in my office. And God said, look up the word align. So I did. It means bring into agreement. Bring into cooperation. And then he said, I'm going to give you another one to add. And I'm like, hey, sure, what is it? Bring into an established order. And God said, that's what my plumb line does. It brings you into agreement. It brings you into cooperation. It brings you into an established order. Established by who? God. In agreement with who? God. In cooperation with who? God. And what he said, that's what it does. And he said, when we check our alignment, we're ensuring that we're in agreement with him. We're ensuring that we are in total cooperation and that we are absolutely in the middle of his divine order. Everything goes smoothly. The minute we step away, things start to happen. And we're trying to figure it out. When what we really need to do is get back to the basics. See, the plumb line is fundamental. And as you've heard me say for years and years, playing basketball, the teams that I played with, we were fundamentally sound. We knew the basics. And anytime we'd find things getting out of hand, we just execute some basic plays, game comes back under control. Why? Because most of the teams that we played were skilled, were talented, had a lot of energy, but were not fundamentally sound. Not fundamentally sound. And you can just pick them to pieces if you operate based on your fundamentals. See, we look for the special plays. You know, we call them the super saint to come in and lay hands, when really, when they do come in, all they're doing is repeating what God has been saying to you all along. It just sounds differently. And you say, oh, What was I thinking? Let me get back in alignment with what God said. And then now when I speak to my body, it listens to me because it's hearing God's voice again. So why didn't I think of that? You didn't check your alignment. You just kept veering off and didn't realize it because you never looked to see where you were in relationship to what God said. Think about what he said in 2 Chronicles. Right, we've been sharing this a lot the last few weeks. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, Message Bible. My people, my God-defined people, respond by humbling themselves. That's the first thing we have to do. We have to get rid of that I'm right attitude and start saying, let me see where I am based on where God said I should be. And then, you know what, Father? I repent. I'm over here. Yeah, I know I'm close. I'm within 4 feet, but that could be an eternity. I need to be right. Let his standard be right in the midst of me. Right in the midst. So no matter which way I may lean a little bit, I'm still there. But if I'm on either side, I'm in danger of being lured away. And we're going to see that in a minute. If my God-defined people respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their back on their wicked lives, I'll be there ready for you. I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, restore their land to health. From now on, I'm alert day and night to the prayers offered at this place. That's what God said. He goes on to say, if you live in my presence, as your father David lived, pure in heart and action, living the life I've set out for you, not the life you want to live, because after all, you're human and you got your own mind, but it's living the life God laid out for you, attentively obedient to my guidance and judgments, then I'll back your kingly rule over Israel, make it a sure thing on a sure foundation. See, I would rather have that than my own way. Because my own way only guarantees one thing. You know what that one thing is? If I can't do it, I won't have it. Because everything is based on me. Me. I have to humble myself and pray and seek what God wants of me and just get in line with it. He's brought me places and has given me things I couldn't have ever imagined. And all I did was make a simple choice to stick with him. Galatians 5, let's go there. I want to share something in the Phillips and the Message. But this is why it's so important to check our alignment, to make sure where are you in relation to where God said you should be? What are you in relation to what God said you should be? Paul speaking to the folks in Galatia, he said in verse 7, you were making splendid progress. Who put you off course? What's going on here? You were going in the right direction. Who put you off the course you had set for you? That sort of persuasion does not come from the one who's calling you. Alas, it only takes a little leaven to affect the whole lump. Just being off a little bit will have drastic effects on you. Just a little bit. The Message Bible says, you were running superbly. Who cut in on you, deflecting you from the true course of obedience? And see, when that happens, we say, I don't know. Exactly. See, when I had to teach chapel, God had me teaching chapel at Love Christian Academy. One of the lessons that he had us teach was that failure is not an option. And I researched why people fail. And at that time, I don't know what it is now, but at that time, the number one reason people failed, not paying attention. The number one reason. God said, I put my plumb line in the midst. That's my standard. If I'm not paying attention to it, like if I'm trying to walk straight and I'm looking at you, I may think I'm walking straight, but I'm actually veering away. And if I don't stop and look, say, how'd I get over here? God, I'm sorry, God. What was I thinking? Let me get back. But if I never look to see where I am in relation to where he said I should be, I won't know until something happens. Then I'll know. I'd rather find out and make the adjustment before something happens. See, you don't want to go and get your wheels aligned after you veered off the road and smacked around a pole, because then you need more than a wheel alignment. Okay. And we have to understand that. See, one of the things God showed me, because I never looked at it that way, is that he was telling Cain to check himself. He was. He was trying to let Cain know that he had swerved away. Let's just look at that. I'm going to read it in the expanded, Genesis 4. I'm like, man, that was so loving. God himself was like, Cain, you need to check yourself, son. You're about to miss it big time. The expanded Bible puts it this way. The Lord asked Cain, why are you angry? Why do you look so unhappy? Has your favor countenance fallen? If you do things well, correctly, appropriately, I will. Will I not accept you? But if you do not do them well, correctly, appropriately, sin is ready to attack you. Crouching at the door, sin wants, desires to control you, but you must rule over it. See, that was the opportunity for Cain to say, God, I repent. Where do I need to go? You know, or if he didn't know how do I get rid of this? I've never experienced these feelings before. What do I do with it? God would have showed him. But he didn't do it. He didn't care. He was too busy feeling things. Sometimes I have missed God by a country mile because I was more intent on what I was feeling, that I wasn't looking at where it was leading me. And I became unconscious of where I was or what I was becoming. And I had to get to the place where I had to just let me go. And in everything, be honest and humble myself. God, I don't like this one bit, but I got to do this your way. Show me what you want me to do to help turn this thing around. Because I know me. I'm about to miss this thing big time. And then I had to humble myself and do what he said. Even though that most of the time I didn't like it. Because I thought God wasn't being fair. But I knew even if he was unfair, he was still right. I mean, that's... So I realized I'm better off doing what he said. Because I already know what's going to happen if I don't. So I just became a little more adept at staying on his plumb line. Notice I said a little more. I hadn't gotten there totally yet. You know, I still slip off every now and then. But I just means I need to just check more often. I mean, when I thought about it, that's really what Jesus was doing in Gethsemane. He was honest with himself. He was honest with what he was feeling. He did something about it. He took it to God. Took it to God. Didn't even tell his disciples. He just said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. Just pray. That's all. Just pray. And he went, and the only one he told what he was really feeling was his Father. So you be willing, remove this. If not, your will, not mine. See, we say those things, and we don't really know what's coming. We think we know something's coming. He knew exactly what was coming. And so when you think about it, he knew exactly what he was going to have to endure and still chose to stick with God's plumb line, to stick with God's standard, to stick with God's plan for his life. We don't know. And we're unwilling at times. Not knowing. Thinking, you know, if you did what I did, you'll think God's going to do something and decide right away you don't want it. So you start doing things figuring, well, if I do this, then he can't use me. He can't use me. No. God will allow some things to happen to help you get to your right mind so you can get back in your rightful place and allow his plan for you to unfold. Because see, this is what he said to me about 7:15 tonight. The alignment process may cause some of us to break out in a sweat. I'm reading it the way he said it, because you know, you think I try and be humorous. This is the way the relationship I have with my dad. I mean, that's just what it is. He said, the alignment process may cause some of us to break out in a sweat. Hopefully you won't sweat large drops of blood, but it may feel like it. That's what he said, it may feel like it. But the bottom line is that I expect a particular behavior from my children. He said, that's the bottom line. Now let's go to Colossians 3. And we'll look at what some of those behaviors are. I'm going to share, we're going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to share it out of the Message Bible. So, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. It's dead. Say, old life,
old life.
Rest in peace. Okay. Your new life, which is your real life, even though Christ is invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. That's where our real life is. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity. Kill it. Impurity. Kill it. Lust. kill it. Listen to this one. Doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it. Gotta kill it. Okay. And grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of God. And you're so busy, you get so busy grabbing after things, you wind up pulling yourself away from where God wants you because you're running after this thing. It amazes me. But I saw a little video online about this woman was walking down some stairs, texting, and walked right into the river. Just walked right in. Fortunately for her, someone was there to pull her out because it was cold. It was really cold. But she just walked, instead of looking away, just walked just. And next thing she knows, just step right in. Well, that's what we do. We're so fixed on something other than what God said, we don't realize that we have walked away from His standards, away from His purity, away from His righteousness. Why? Reaching out after things that He didn't ordain. Reaching out for things that He doesn't want us to have because it's not part of living a Christ-centered life. And He's the one that laid down the plumb line. He made it the standard. We should be right, let it be right in the midst of us. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. See, as we found out when we shared Sunday the account of when Moses said, everybody that's on the Lord's side, come over here. And then he had those that came. He said, all right, now strap on your sword and kill everybody else. And he asked me the question. He said, you ever stop and wonder why I had them killed? And I said, other than the whole, you know, wrath of God thing, no. He said, because I want you to understand you have to get rid of the sin and stuff out of your life. I'm not going to do it for you. I've equipped you to do it. Now you have to go and do it. We are the ones that have to check our alignment and make sure that we are in agreement, in cooperation, in God's divine order based on where He laid His plumb line. It's our responsibility. Now, the Holy Ghost will say things to us, and sometimes He doesn't say, boy, you're far away. He'll say, do you really want to do that? When you hear that, you stop. If I hear that tone and that voice, obviously the answer is no, I don't. And then I start looking and I say, oh, sorry about that one, Dad. Let me get back over here. But I have the choice to ignore it. Because if I'm so wrapped up with me, so do you really want to do that? Yes, I do. So, no, you don't want to do that. No, yes, I do. God said, get rid of it. Make sure it's all gone. For good. Bad temper. So we can no longer say, you know that sometimes I just go off? No. God said, make sure it's all gone for good. Irritability. I've told them and told them, don't do that to me. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like being poked. I don't like it. But I can't go off on people every time they do it. Okay. I can't do that. So I have to make sure that that irritability is gone for good. I have to do it. God's not going to do it for me. He did all he's going to do, told me that I have to make sure it's going for good. Meanness. Just being mean. I, for the life of me, I can honestly say, not that it was any better, but I can honestly say, I never did anything mean for meanness' sake. You know, there was always a purpose for it. Doesn't make it right. Okay. But some folks are just mean. Mean spirit for whatever. And just do mean things. And you wonder why. You know, I mean, sometimes you have a handful of groceries, and you're coming to the store, and this person, they're coming out the door, they're holding it, they look at you, and they let it go. And just walk away. And you want to throw your groceries at them, but you just... And so you just fumble, and you pull the door open. Say, Father, thank you, because obviously they were in a hurry. And just let them get where they're going safely, Lord, in Jesus' name. You know, I mean, no, I had to force myself to say that. I'm serious, because some other words wanted to come out, and I couldn't let them come out of my mouth, not be who I say I am, right? And neither can you. Profanity. You all know Scripture says, "How can fresh water and salt water come out of the same fountain?" That these things must not be. And usually if it's coming out of your mouth, it got in you somehow. And I've learned that watching programs where they beep it out doesn't help. Because the beep may sound on the TV, but your brain hears the word. It does, right? You actually think people talk, and so-and-so beep. And no, you know exactly what they said. So the question is, why are you subjecting yourself to it? Deacon Phil's been telling me that for years. My ass beeped out. And then they'll take a good program and let that stuff come into it. It's no longer a good program anymore. Even if you get one of those, I think they have these units that you can put on where it just makes the word silent. You still know. You still know what it is. Dirty talk. Dirty talk. Talk that's not edifying. You could write in murmuring and complaining. Dirty talk. God says make sure it's all gone for good. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator. Custom made. With His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion. Kindness. Humility. Quiet strength. Quiet strength. And that can be defined many ways for multitudes of people. For me, God taught me that it took more strength not to do anything than it did to act. That's what He taught me. And one incident, I looked at the person and smiled because I was like, Father, He doesn't know that if He said this to me 2 years ago, he wouldn't see anybody for a while. And as Dr. Cole shared, at about 2 weeks, he might have been able to see a little bit out of his left eye. But just quiet strength. You don't have to walk around boasting about who you are and what you have. No. Quiet strength. That's why I said it means a number of things to different people. It depends on who you are. Discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place. Second, it doesn't always have to be what you want to eat or where you want to go or what you want to do. Be content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Uh-oh, now see, he was going fine till that one. But we've talked about that already. Quick to forgive. Quick. We forgive them before they even ask. It's okay. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean. I know you are. It's okay. And you mean it. You don't have, yeah, I'm saying it's okay, but you'll never come in my face again. No. Quick to forgive. Forgive as quickly and completely. Quickly and completely as the Master forgave you, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Okay, I can get this in 10 minutes. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense, and sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus. Thanking God the Father every step of the way. And then he gets real personal with us. Wives, understand and support your husbands by submitting to them in ways that honor the Master. Ways that honor the Master. When we don't do that, we get pulled away from the plumb line. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives. Don't take advantage of them. Why? Pulls you away from the plumb line. Children, do what your parents tell you. This delights the Master to no end. Parents, don't come down too hard on your children. You'll crush their spirits. Servants, you could say employees, do what you're told by your earthly masters. And don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God. Confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work. That's God's plumb line for his people. And we have to do what Pastor Judy said they call a check it. That's what we have to do. We have to check it. We have to see where we are. Where's the plumb line? Where am I? Let me check. I'm too far away. Let me get right back in line. I have to keep this plumb line right in the midst of me, because this is God's standard. It represents his righteousness, and that's what I want to be. I want to stay in right standing with him. I got to make sure that I'm following what he has said. Amos, what do you see? A plumb line. I'm setting a plumb line as a standard in the midst of my people. And we are to live a sanctified, consecrated, holy life, period. So we're going to have to fill ourselves with God, and we're going to have to pay attention to His standards. And we're going to have to let His standards stay in the midst of us. We're going to have to. Since we're going to have to do that, we need to always, in every situation, check our alignment and make sure we're where we're supposed to be. Father, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you, Lord, because you did just what you said you'd do. You gave us more insight, took us up a little higher, sharpened our understanding so that we can do this thing much, much better. Father, we believe every word that you've spoken concerning this place, every single word we believe. And we understand that you're training us how to walk this thing into existence. And on the surface, yes, it seems so simple. Just do what you said. But in that simplicity, there's a multitude of things that we must be mindful of. And we are so grateful that we don't have to remember them all on our own. You put them in your word, and you sent the Holy Ghost to guide us into them. Father, show us the things that we must do, that we sharpen our spiritual senses, our spiritual eyes, our spiritual hearing, so that we'll always be sure that your plumb line is right in the midst of us. That we never veer off, but we stay true to who we are as your children. And we give you all glory and honor for that now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.